Who needs the four? It's called the four chops. Anybody need the four chops? You got the fill in the blanks for the four chops. The pork chops. The pork chops. Was it the sheet cake?
Yeah. That's so good.
It is good. Mar Therese, it's a company here in town, Mar Therese. It's just a chocolate sheet cake.
And then the peanut butter. Oh my word.
The peanut butter is the satin. No, what is that? The peanut butter. Is that the satin pie?
It's the reason we're coming back to have another.
That's satin pie from Ralph and Cacu's. There's grapes from. Yeah, these are all different places. We just got some of our favorite desserts and put them on the plate. So those are, it's the little things, isn't it? The regular things really, really well. We could have just had desserts for you after lunch, but you just have the staff come out with a plate and it says it's something regular. It's a regular thing. And all of a sudden it's done it better. All right. All right, are you guys ready? I know we got people that are like, I am so sick of hearing him talk. I'm going to go pee. Actually, I'm not going to go pee. I'm going to go check Facebook. But if you guys are ready, I'm gonna lean in and move forward. Is that good, everybody?
Go.
I'm more excited to share this with you than anything else. Now, I may have just set myself up for failure to say that, but to me, if you don't do anything else that we've talked about, if you will become efficient and consistent with these four chops, you're going to be okay. Now, what does the four chops mean? I heard this illustration at a conference a few months ago. Let's say that you get up in the morning. You walk outside your back door, you grab an axe, you go to a tree in your backyard. You have several trees, but you go to this tree. You swing the axe 5 times. Boom, 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 boom. You walk back to the back door, you set the axe down next to the door, you walk in, you go on with life. The next day, you don't even think about the axe, you don't even think about the tree. Next day, you go and what do? You go back door, you grab the axe, you go to the same tree and 5 times, boom, 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 boom. Eventually, what's going to happen? The tree falls, all right? There's got to be an evaluation of keeping the axe sharp, knowing that you're using the right instrument. If you're picking up a Louisville Slugger bat every time, you're going to ding up a tree, but you're not really going to see many trees fall. It may be it'll take a decade for that to happen and probably won't even happen, okay? You also could wake up in the morning, grab the same axe, keep it sharp, but go to this tree 2 times and then over here and hit this tree 1 time and then, today I'm too tired to do the five. I'm just going to do 2. The four chops are called the four chops and not the five chops because I only could come up with 4. but to me, these really envelope the keystone habits that I hope all of our team becomes professionals in. All right? These are the four chops that if every staff member will get up and on the time where they're supposed to lean in to their responsibilities, they will chink, 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 4 chops. These things, do it as consistent as possible. Keep it going every single day they're working. They even have certain chops that they're doing on their day off, but these are the things they do, the four chops. What would they be for us? They may be different for you, but in a strategy meeting that was all day, we took all day. I know that sounds, it's not going to be like this all of a sudden, like, oh, that's so anointed. Like, it's not going to, it's so simple. But we wrestled through all of these ideas of what do we need our team to do all the time? Like, what do they need to be great at these things? And so we just whittled it down. We were adding a fifth one because we wanted to make it an acrostic, but we just like, eh. And then I figured out how to do it, you know, and do another acrostic for you. It's kind of a lame one, but that's okay. The four chops. If who we are, we do this. What we do, the tactics, the goals, and the methods, it has to do with the four chops. Okay, you see where that fits in this schema. Okay, so the four chops, let's get our act together. Stupid. Our act. Let's get our act together, okay? Let's get our act together. The acrostics stinks, but I think the four things are going to be helpful to you today. Here's what, if I can get every staff member to do this, and I've got to lead the way. If every staff member, if you, I'm telling you, if you spent every leadership development day next year drilling deep on these four things, you will change the landscape of your leadership team. I'm telling you. Here they are. First one, run the right written rituals. Run the right written rituals. How many shower people I got in the room? You don't bathe, you shower, right? Do you have a Taylor? Do you have are you just a jump in whether it's hot or cold and just deal with it until it gets warm or so there is a ritual you have. You probably haven't written this down, but there is a ritual. So it probably looks like going in and, well, probably for you, it's just not showering. No, I'm kidding. So you turn on the water, you start it. What do you do? Touch it. Okay. It's part of the ritual, but it's so, you know why people have so many good ideas in the shower? Because they're just already running, they're running a ritual that they haven't written down, but it's just a normal ritual. You just kind of do it. Do you get the towel before you get in the shower or after? I tend to say, Janet, you know, can you give me a towel? You know, that's part of my ritual. And she's like, I told you. That's part of her ritual. I gotta keep going. So everybody runs rituals. The way you wake up in the morning is a ritual. Hitting the snooze button three times when you meant to not hit the snooze button, that's your ritual. Like the way you, so thinking through deep enough, what did I say over here on the whiteboard? We're paid to think. You got to be thinking, how can I leverage my time in a way, and how can I begin to set things in a way that I can become almost like, anybody ever been driving, like you're supposed to be driving home, but you pass the church and you just pull into the parking lot? It's because you're on autopilot. What if you could take some things we've been talking about and put it on autopilot so that you're not sitting in the next staff meeting and going, man, why didn't we do that? Well, probably because it's not in your written rituals. For red carpet, the ushers, I was talking to one of our team members saying, what do you want the ushers to do? You were frustrated with what the ushers aren't doing. What do you want them to do? Well, I want them to do this. I said, okay, if I'm an usher and I walk in, where would I see that other than in your brain? I said, nowhere. What if you put on the wall next to check-in, these are the five things ushers are responsible to do every single Sunday? Now, before you know it, they've memorized, these are the five things we do. But if you never make it plain, do you know what that is? That's building systems. That's clarity through systems. But the greatest system you have at your disposal is not your assimilation, care, and follow-up. Your greatest system is your self-leadership. We've got to be better at leading self before we can be better at leading the church. So here are a list of rituals that if you will take time, get alone with God, talk about these things with Him, think it through, get with your team and say, let's do this together. Let's work on these things. Let's share them with each other. Let's sharpen iron together and see how can we make our, and it's not about the ritual you do. It's about the ritual you should do, the right written ritual. I know I should have had those. I should have had that podcast posted by Monday at 5. But it's usually Tuesday at 12. I'm not saying that's not a real thing. But that's just like, what's the written ritual for getting the podcast posted? Right? That's part of somebody's job. Okay, so here they are. The morning ritual. How you start your morning matters. When you get up, when do you get up? What do you do next? Many people don't have a time alone with God because they've not put it into a ritual. And now they're busy because they hit the snooze button or they didn't set the alarm. So the morning ritual is key to getting things going. So for me, I've changed it recently. The one I memorized, and now I've shifted because I'm not taking my kids to school anymore, was 5 in the morning. I get up, I go to the sink, I brush my teeth, I just wash my face with a rag, and I look in the mirror and I say 3 things. I say the Lord's Prayer, I quote the 23rd Psalm, and I say, into your hands I commit my spirit. There's just 3 things that I've added into the ritual, and I've found that when I just look and I say those things, it's like there's just something about that part of my day. I go and I get dressed to go to the gym. I go and start the Nespresso machine in the kitchen, and while it's warming up, I'm stretching right there in the butler's pantry, okay? I go to the couch that is on the dining room side. I turn on the light. I have my Bible and my 1-year Bible right there close. I'm not having to look for it. I know exactly where it is. I'm able to open it. I read the 1-year Bible devotion. I put a bookmark and I read those sections. If I pick up my phone, I'm done. If I pick up the phone, I'm done. You are better than me if you can do it. So I don't go digital at all except the alarm clock. So I'm now in my devotion, and I'm only doing the reading part of my devotion, and it takes about 12 to 15 minutes. I'm already dressed for the gym. I get in the gym. It's an 8-minute drive to the gym. I listen to worship music, and I don't really sing a lot in church, because it's only me. I'm singing worship. That's part of my time. It's part of my quiet time is the drive. When I come back, I'm listening to the same CD. Right now, it's the Highlands CD. I get back home, and now it's Janet time and kids time because we're getting around. It's about 6:30 by this time. Kids are getting around, making sure they're running their rituals. I'm telling you, it has been a game changer getting our kids on rituals. So we get out, and now we're leaving by 7:10. One thing that we felt like we weren't doing well was having devotional time with our kids. I'm a lead pastor. I'm not having devotional time with my kids. But I was also beating myself up for things that I ought not be beating myself up for. But if I just had a simple ritual, so what we do, I don't even have to say it anymore. The kids are saying, we got to huddle up. You know, we do team huddles every time. We have our own team huddle. Got to huddle up. And we huddle up right in front of the kitchen bar right there. We huddle up and we say, love you. Keep your hand in the hand of Jesus today. All right. And if something comes up that somebody says, hey, I this or that, there's a communicate. All right, let's pray. Pray. It's like a 2-minute thing. I'm going to tell you, there's something about just having that in our ritual. It's been something beautiful for our kids. So then I take them to school. On my way back, I'm listening to worship music. So by the time, just in my drive time, I've spent about 25 minutes in worship. And I ought not feel guilty about that. You know, I don't have to come up here to the church and walk around like this in order to get my worship on. I can drive and worship at the same time because I can also worship and, you know, say, what is that ringing in the sound system at the same time too? So then when I'm done, I will go to my office and I start up the work startup ritual. This is setting my 3 simple goals for the day. I send them over to Michaela, my assistant. In fact, usually she, at a certain time, part of her ritual is she sends me a text saying, what's your top 3? It's part of her ritual. What's your top 3? So I send her, here are the 3 things I got to get done today. Very simple. Then I take my email to 0. So I just try and thrash through the email and take it to 0. It takes me about 10 minutes if I can just stay on top of it. Michael Hyatt calls it, some of you need to declare email bankruptcy. just like Michael Scott, you know, I declare bankruptcy. Just get rid of everything in your inbox, because if it's been there for 2 weeks, it's too late anyway. Just get rid of it. Go to zero. You will breathe easier. And then stay on it. Stay on it. In your morning ritual, take it to zero. Okay? And then my next step is I consume the leadership calories. I've got 1 hour. It starts around 8:45 to 9:45. I consume leadership calories. I listen to sermons. I usually listen on 1.5 to 2 times. So I'm listening to podcasts. I'm taking notes. I have 3 folders in my notes one says humor. Anytime I hear something funny, I try to pause that, and I'll put it in my humor folder. Okay, I'm not going to remember that. I have one that's called preachable, when it's an idea, and it's just great, great thoughts. So when I hear someone do a great thought and the crowd goes, ah, and they clap, and I back it up and I write out what they're putting on that, what they're quoting. Okay, that just helps me begin to curate content, because I got to consume the calories. And many times I'll listen to something that I don't even remember. Like, I don't even remember what I preached last Sunday. Neither do you, and neither do your people remember. So I got to consume, because I'm going to be giving out a whole lot. That's part of the work startup ritual. Then I've got the work shutdown ritual. I want to take my email to zero. I want to make sure that I have transferred any goal that I didn't accomplish over to the next day. I'm checking in with my assistant, okay? Then I have the evening ritual. You know what makes it really great? You know how I'm able to get up in the morning? Is that in the evening, I've set the alarm clock. you know what else helps me? That I know where my keys are, and that I've already set out my gym clothes in the evening. You know what's a game changer for my son? Part of his after school ritual, pick out your clothes for tomorrow. Before you can play Fortnite, you gotta pick out your clothes for tomorrow. So he's already picking out his clothes for tomorrow, and that's one of the hardest things to do with those little brats. Just pick out your dang clothes. Next. The Sunday and event ritual. So tomorrow at 8:30 in the morning, part of our ritual for events is we have to have a debrief plus Delta meeting. So at 8:30 at Starbucks, Michaela and Courtney and Talia and myself will get together, and we will say what was hot, what was not, what would we do different next? What would we do more of? What would we do less of? What was the funniest joke? No, I'm kidding. I don't know. The Sunday and event ritual. So I have a Sunday ritual. I have found that I'm more introverted. I'm an introvert. I'm okay with crowds like this, but I don't want to go to one-on-one lunch. I'll go to you with you guys. I mean, but I would be fine with being by myself. Hours and hours and hours. Extroverts tend to get energy from crowds. Crowds drain me. That's more of an introverted thing. So I have found that I was becoming less and less engaged with the people in the church after I'd preach, and I'd go find a place, and I would use the disguise of wanting to kind of tighten up my notes. I just didn't want to see people. I didn't want to talk to people. Man, what if somebody brings up something stupid? When like that only happens like 1 out of 100 times right now. But I had to write a Sunday ritual. So Michaela has my Sunday ritual. And I have to be at church at a certain time, so I go over my slides so I can do that ritual. And I start in the lobby, and I walk all the way down past Cafe Aroma, all the way here. I'm seeing dream teamers that are getting ready to start Starting Point. I'm seeing new people. I'm saying hi. I'm glad-handed. I'm kissing babies. And I'm walking back out, walk all the way down, walk through Kid Works. Hey, guys, what's up? Oh, man, the hero's right here in the nursery. So glad you're serving. Thank you so much. My inclination is not to do that, but because I've written the ritual, I'm putting some of the most important things on autopilot, and then I've got the accountability built in, because during second service, every time I have a pastor go with me, it's easy time. They see how I'm doing. I think I mentioned that already. They're watching how I interact with people. I'm introducing them to people. I'm talking to them. Man, what's going on? What's next? How are you doing? Like, I'm just a simple catch up. And then they're also my backup to say, hey, we need to get you backstage. It's time. And they are able to pull me off of that, you know, seat coverage of the devil conversation. So that's a Sunday morning. So what do you do on a Sunday? You do something, and it's normally the same thing you do every Sunday, but is it the best one? Have you written it down? Is it the right ritual? Okay. Next, the ritual for delegated responsibility. Go to the next slide. Okay, go back. Thank you, sir. Thank you for running crazy today, Chris, on all these slides. You probably have carpal tunnel just from these slides today. Thank you. The ritual for delegated responsibility. I'm not going to go through. I'm just going to give it to you real quick. It's an acrostic. I got content, but I made my own acrostic to it. But you can find these in books. Great delegation. Just write it down real quick. Great delegation. Take it all the way down. G-R-E-A-T vertically. G, here's the first level of delegation. Get it done exactly like this. That's delegation. Get it done just like this. This is the way I want you to clean the toilet. This is the way I want you to answer the phone. Get it done exactly like this. R, research and report back on what you find out. It's delegated. You're not having to research it. And then they're reporting back. You still have the decision-making power. Okay? E, explore options. Give me three. Explore options. Give me three. So now they're learning the art of finding solutions because you've delegated them. Give me three solutions on how we make the nursery more irresistible. Instead of giving it to them, what are you doing? You're building their leadership muscle, but, and you're delegating. Give me three. I'm still going to make the decision. A, act and let me know. Act and let me know. Don't leave me in the dark. It's great when you say, hey, where are we on that project? That you don't have to ask that they say, it's done. Just to send in the subject. Don't even make them open the email. Done. Great. Act and let me know. Then the T, take total ownership. So Talia and I are in this dance of what a senior executive pastor and a lead pastor, what I'm saying, get it done exactly like this, and other things that are take total ownership. Or I want you to explore options, give me three. Do you see how that vernacular? I know I've given you a lot of acrostics, a lot of conversation, but the more you can clarify levels and layers, then you're not so frustrated over here because they didn't do it the way you wanted to do it. Well, maybe you shouldn't have given him total ownership yet. It's like, I know he's 16 and he just got out of juvie, but he plays guitar, so he must be a worship pastor. So we thought we would do it. I didn't know he was going to open with Post Malone, but you ought to have said get it done exactly like this on that one, okay? Finally, the weekly team ritual. This may be Saul's armor for you. And we haven't mastered this yet, but we're getting better at it. So we have tried to. I heard this from Rich Wilkerson Jr. They do this on their teams. Having a theme for every day of the week. Okay, here's what we say. We say it this way: make it count Monday. So your Monday, it ought to be. Oh, okay, so the Mondays, it ought to be make it count Monday. You're thinking through what you got to get done. You've set your weekly goals. You are on fire getting ready to make it happen. Make it count Monday. For those of you that take Monday off, you call that my Monday. Okay? You don't have to make it count. You just call it my Monday. All right? But for us, we make it count Monday. Team Tuesday. And Team Tuesday is not only that we have our team meetings, but you ought to be thinking about having your team meetings with your dream teamers on Tuesdays. It makes a consistency across the board that we're using Tuesdays as Team Tuesday. So it's not just a theme for our staff. It becomes a theme for our church. Team Tuesday. Wednesday, we don't like to have meetings on Wednesday. As much as we can help it, we're going to have this meeting because it's debrief, because we'll have that debrief meeting tomorrow morning. I use Wednesdays. I am not in the office. It is message prep all day Wednesday. We do fill in the blanks like you see here. We do it on the back of a worship guide. We do those every, and I. The goal is that I get those done at 5 p.m. On Wednesdays. Work it Wednesday. So we try. You get your work done. Like if you're in meetings all week long, you're never getting work done. Thursday, we have a creative meeting on Thursday. I have my strategy meeting with Talia. Every team ought to be thinking forward Thursday. Is there any event that we need to do a little bit of groundwork on now So if we can develop a ritual for following, making it count, team Tuesday, work it Wednesday, think forward Thursday. For us, it's free Friday. The offices are closed on Friday. Then we have semi-slow Saturday because stuff comes up and you got to jump up here and you got to grab this. You got to meet with somebody. It's no big deal. And then we got slam it Sunday. And we got to slam it because we've been prepping this whole week to make sure that the most important things are the most important things. That's the ritual. I am spending the next 4 leadership development days drilling deep on this one thing, running the right written rituals. We're going to get good at that. The next, our act, the A, is this. Ask the right questions. Let's become great question askers. And Alan, the coach, said, questions are so powerful. Asking the right questions of yourself. Here's just some that are really simple. Am I getting what I need? Am I getting what I need? I don't mean like, you know, the sense of the spirit in my life. I'm talking about, have they gotten that report done? Am I getting what I need? Are you getting what you need? I'm talking to somebody else. Are you getting what you need from me? Do you have what you need? Is this the best use of my time? I know some of you are probably asking that right about now. Next, connect with the right people. So, chop 1, run the right written rituals. Chop 2, ask questions every day. Ask the right questions for your own self-leadership. Who do I need to connect with today? Then connect with the right people. So if I'm asking the right questions, where's Waldo? What are my numbers? Where am I on my goals? Those are great questions to be asking. Ought to be asking them every day. Ask the right questions. Is there anything I'm waiting on? Who do I need to follow up with? Who do I need to have a meeting with? I know this person wants to take my time, but who do I need to give my time to? So then when I can ask those questions, I then am able to connect with the right people. So for me, I need to be able to have a system where I'm just checking in on some key leaders, the key donors, that I've just got a system that's right, connecting with the right people. Who am I going to connect with this week that are key donor relationships, key leaders? They're not just donating contributions. They're donating their time. Who are key donators of their time that I just connect them with the right people? And then this is where needed and known comes in. That's where the whole needed and known. And then I did the great delegation. Did I put that in here too? Yeah, boom, doom, 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 doom. I already talked about that. Move on. And then once you've run the right rituals, and that's on systems, asking the right questions, connecting with the right people, then you go to your tasks. But how many of us get so busy with this task and that task that somebody ought to be delegating that to? The urgent and important take the place of everything, and we're tackling tasks we ought not be tackling. So once you can run through this part of your chops, it gets you to a place that you can tackle the right task, that you, pastor, can do what only you can do because you've empowered other people. You've delegated those things. You've asked those questions. And then you can focus on what's most important. Those are the 4 chops. If we can get our teams getting those rituals, doing what I've just said, I'm telling you, it's going to be a game changer for you, your family, your church. So this is where I would insert some real profound final, as I was reviewing Ecclesiastes 3. I just come back to Philemon 7. I hope that you've been encouraged. I hope you feel joy today. I hope that you feel there's a little bit of overwhelm, I'm sure. A lot of things like, man, where do we start? Start somewhere. Just start somewhere. On the ride back, talk about what's 3 next steps. Not 12. What's 3 next steps? How do we move? How do you get 2% better? Stop trying to get 80% better. Get 2% better. What are 3 areas we could get 2% better? How would we track that? Let's do it. Let's get it done by Friday. There we go. And all of a sudden, you've started building traction.